Here's Evans back to throw on second down. They chase him out of the pocket.
It's a screen.
And he sets a screen up, and it's knocked down at a 38-yard line.
And a fumble.
Tackle. Do the Packers have the ball? Apparently they do.
And they're going to give it to the Packers.
Fumble goes to the touchdown. Is that a touchdown or not? It is a touchdown for Leroy Butler. Holy cow, and a fumble recovery. And the Packers go up 20 to nothing.
Oh, what a play. I didn't even see it, Jim, but this may definitely bring back its...
From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined on our live chat by the amazing Jamie Snowden and Cheesehead TV's marketing director, Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we are going to break down the Packers' thrilling victory over the Dolphins and look forward to the Panthers game. But right now, we have a legend in the house.
Legend in the house.
Time to talk to one of the greatest Green Bay Packers of all time, Mr. Leroy Butler.
Mr. Butler, how are you tonight?
Doing good, guys. How y'all doing?
We are doing well now that you are here, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't see it because you're just sitting there on the phone, but we just played your very first Lambeau leap, and let me tell you, chills every single time I see it.
I never get enough of watching that.
Neither do I.
Same thing here, man. All right, you okay? Looking at that footage, thinking back to that day, and then you watch the game now. You watch the game every Sunday. We see flags. We see ridiculousness on the defensive side of the ball. Tell me, A, how hard is it to play defense in the NFL today? And B, do you think you could do it?
Well, it is difficult, especially if you're a defensive back. Every year the referees, they come in and they kind of tell you the rules, and you actually get a chance to watch film with them, and they tell you, you know, kind of what they're going to be having their eye, what they'll be watching out for. And this year, this year was an emphasis on offensive pass interference, because if the opposite guy's putting his hands on the defender and they're not looking for the ball, you know, like they do these bubble screens, they're going to call that. But for the most part, it's down the field at the 5 yards. If you're touching a wide receiver, I mean, if you even look at him the wrong way, you're going to get the flag. So I would have to, you know, if I was playing this in this era now, I would spend more time with the referees before the game and just kind of let them know, you know, what are the ins and outs, and just explain to them to kind of let us play football. Because I know they want the score to be in the 50s and the 40s. But, you know, we make a living, too, a defensive back. So just kind of let us play a little bit.
Yeah, and you make a great point about, you know, from crew to crew, it is really different. Like, you can definitely tell how different it is from week to week in regards to this crew calls things really tight. This crew lets a lot, you know, not get away with stuff, but they don't call it quite as tight. So I think it's incumbent on D players, as you say, to kind of get in their ear a little bit. Speaking of young players and watching tape and improving and kind of maturing, what's your take on Ha Ha Clinton Dix? I know Mike McCarthy came out earlier this week and said Sunday was his best game as a Packer. What have you seen from the young guy, and do you see the improvement that Mike McCarthy sees?
Well, you know, when you come off a season where both safeties didn't have an interception, you know, there was no surprise they were going to take the first pick. And he was the guy I really wanted from day one, because if you look at the way they play in Alabama, they play a 3-4 type of a scheme. The safeties have to rotate a lot. safety is making all of the calls, and every now and then the safeties have to cover the third wide receiver. So he would fit what the Packers were doing. Now, he had a slow start to the OTA. He had a slow start to the training camp. And for the most part, I think people got alarmed when they saw Micah Hyde being able to start. And as I told people, he's going to improve. But you can't put him out until he knows the defense. But now he knows the defense. Each week he's been getting better. And I think you'll start to see him starting games now.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of ha-ha and laughing, you and I had a little back and forth on Twitter a couple days ago. I love that you put this out there. Tell him I say hi. You put this out there.
Yeah, really. I mean, yeah, I'm letting the babysitters out there. Tell them to come over.
Dude, I'm right there with you, man. I'm living your world right now. You put this out there in regards to the story about the Redskins laughing in their locker room post, you know, getting whooped up on national television. And you were very diplomatic, and I appreciated it in regards to, you know, your take was what, you know, if the game is over. You know, players are going to let off steam. My take, and you were, like I said, you were great about it, was it bugs me as a fan that I care so much about it to know that a player is in the locker room afterwards laughing it off. My question was, did that ever happen when you were in Green Bay after a loss? You guys were kind of palling around, joking around, laughing?
No, it didn't happen very much, but, you know, I recognize the fact that, you know, some guys take, you know, victories different, and some guys take losses different. But I'll give you an example. Excuse me. I think we lost to Indianapolis. I think they were 0-10. I think it was Marvin Harrison's coming out party.
Right.
And they beat us. And after the game, I saw four or five guys smiling and just kind of saying we couldn't really believe what happened. I saw some guys sitting in their locker with their uniform on, upset, punching walls and kicking stuff and knocking over water. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know, it's just a game. We got to move forward. So some guys are different. But if you look at the Dallas-Seattle game, as soon as that game was over, you saw four or five Seattle guys smiling. One of the guys was Marshawn Lynch.
Right. Right. Yeah. And like I said, I get it. Intellectually, I totally get it. Emotionally, it's hard to take as a fan. But again, it's not my profession. It's their profession. It's your profession. So from that aspect, I totally understand. Getting back on the field with this Packers team, obviously, we saw the reports today about, you know, Sam Shields, probably a little further away than Tremont Williams. Assuming both of them don't play on Sunday, how do you see the secondary shaking out against the Panthers?
You know what, guys? I tell you what. Here's what McCarthy was saying about that. Those guys who didn't practice, by the way, if they can't play, they have two guys that are battle-tested. You know, 29 and 31. I mean, Devon House has covered pretty much every receiver the last couple of years. And Hayward, if he can ever stay healthy, he'll be one of the top corners. The problem is now you'll get your special teamers who are going to have to play in your nickel and your dime.
Right.
So, and that's the problem. You know, people, a lot of people may not like Bush as a corner, but if you look back all the way back to 2010, he played well in the Super Bowl. So all these guys are battle-tested, and they're not going to freak out if one or both of these guys can't play. Now, I will say this. You have to bring Micah Hyde down from your safety. He's going to be in your dime package, but that's fine. That's why you drafted, you know, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. So 42 and, you know, will be your main guy on your dime and your nickel in 21. So they have the personnel to do it.
Right.
But it's not the personnel they would like to go into if they were defending a five wide receiver set most of the day.
Well, and thankfully, that's not exactly the Panthers, you know, calling card. Obviously, it's all about Cam Newton. Sticking on the Packers' defensive side of the ball, I was really intrigued by something you told Tom Silverstein in your videos with at the Journal Sentinel in regards to Clay Matthews. Obviously, lots been made about the fact that he had no tackles on Sunday. He got faked out pretty good against the read option yet again. But you mentioned something about how he's going first on some of these blitzes and dogs and things that they're doing up front. And you said the easy, kind of obvious solution is to have him go second. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit about what you're talking about there?
Well, I watch every play that Clay has done this season. And what people may not see that will never show up in the stat box is when they do a lot of these blitzing opportunities. He's the guy that goes first and draws the attention, and the other guy comes around and gets the sack. And he's done that with Mike Daniels. He's done that with Juice Peppers. I mean, you name it. They line him up at a lot of different spots. And so if you look at his career, I mean, he's put 4 or 5 years, 3 of those years he's had double-digit sacks. And the other 2 years he's missed some games. But if you look at his career, he's a finisher. I mean, all of those sack numbers, they'll start to pick up, you know, the week 7, 8, 9. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit a couple this week. I mean, he's the kind of guy that gets better. But he's playing very unselfish right now. I mean, you could understand that this is most guys at his level, they'd be complaining to the coaching staff, listen, you got to put me in position to make some plays because I'm getting some heat from the media about my stat line. So he still has to make plays.
You know, today the guys out in Vegas, the wise guys, they dropped the Packers' odds to get to the Super Bowl and win it, which was kind of surprising to me after that thrilling victory down in Miami, although these wise guys know all sorts of things that we don't. And I wanted to ask you, a former Super Bowl champion, somebody who's covered the team while they've won a Super Bowl, obviously a lot has to break right. Luck does play a little bit into it. You got to be playing well at the right time. But do you see a Super Bowl contender as you sit and watch this team here in October?
Well, you know, you look at the scope of the NFL. Okay, let's do that real quick. I mean, because let's be realistic. It's 6 teams in the AFC that have a realistic chance of making it to the Super Bowl, and 6 in the NFC. If you take the 6 teams in the NFC, the teams that got the hot start, the Dallas Cowboys, what are they going to normally do? They usually falter at the end. So if that's where all the chips are going, I think you have time. Now, you have to look at the other team that may have a chance. You know, and sometimes you're playing a team this weekend that had a chance, but Cincinnati, you know, took their lunch money. So the Green Bay Packers sitting right where you're supposed to sit. Now, teams like the Detroit Lions, what if they are known to do down the stretch? Mm-hmm. They falter. So the teams that are 5-1, 4-2, or 3-3, or whatever, those are the teams people start to look at. But if I'm the Green Bay Packers, you know, if somebody for some reason said I wasn't going to make it, I think that's the reason why you make money when you gamble.
You can't put it better than that. All right. You know, you are an absolute legend for coming on the show. You're always so gracious with your time. It was great seeing you at the Super Bowl. I hope we see you again down the road. Leroy Butler, absolute Packer legend. What do we have to do to get you in the Hall of Fame? That's all I want to know. Who do I need to talk to? Tell me who to talk to. Tell me who to pay off. It's ridiculous that you're not in the Hall of Fame conversation every year.
Well, you got more pool than me, but I think, you know, a lot of people I'm talking to, they don't put a lot of kickers and safeties in. I mean, I get that. But sooner or later, they will have to. And I've heard from some of the guys who are already in, so they've heard my name when they get to that last 25. If I can just 1 year make it to the last 25, I think I will get in. I made it to the last 113 the last 2 years. So I just got to hope and pray, and I got nothing else to do but wait.
All right. Well, consider Cheesehead TV your absolute official party headquarters for the campaign to get Leroy Butler in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time, man, and have a great night.
Okay. We'll do it again for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Leroy Butler.
Leroy Butler joining us live online here at CheeseheadTV.com. That's how we roll. Packer extraordinaire. I mean, and I'm serious. I'm upset. Like, and I get the whole, you know, Jerry Kramer's not in the Hall of Fame, and that's a freaking travesty in and of itself. But that, like, all the history there and all the drama that's gone on, I understand it. I don't understand why he's not in the Hall of Fame, you know, regardless of what he's done in the field and everything. The Jerry Kramer thing, okay, fine. There's all sorts of freaking machinations behind the scenes going on there. Do what you will, all right? That's another battle. But Leroy Butler not even being in the conversation for the Hall of Fame is ridiculous. He is a transcendent player in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
He played that position unlike anyone else. Everyone talks about Ronnie Lott. Go watch some Leroy Butler tape. Go watch him blitz the quarterback.
He was cerebral like Aaron Rodgers is cerebral.
He really was. And this is a guy who could not walk as a child. Grew up to become one of the best players in Packers history. I'm sorry I sound upset. It's because I am.
It's nice of Kyle Cousineau to join us right at the end of that interview, too.
It's like, you know, we got Leroy Butler. We got the mayor. You know, it's how we roll.
Yeah, but
here
he joined us
TV.
Like right at the end. Like, he totally missed Leroy.
He's got stuff to do. He'll catch it later on.
He's got to get ready for throwback weekend, y'all.
Apparently. Which, all right, by the way.
We're going to get to that. So let's start off with a little good, bad, and the ugly.
Hey, why not?
We got the good. We got...
Who else?
Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, come on. Although I did love today when Mike McCarthy was like, yeah, you know, Aaron has kind of spoiled us. I've seen him play better.
We got Devontae, the rookie, Adams.
Fantastic job on the fake spike. Everyone's going to talk about that. But overall, fantastic game.
We got Casey Hayward.
I mean, that pick was a thing of beauty. Read the quarterback all the way. And overall, just a great game.
And we got the ugly. We got
bad. Bad first.
Oh, yeah. We got the bad first. Clay Matthews.
As Leroy said, got to help him out a little bit with the scheme. But I'm sorry. No tackles. Plenty of opportunities to get to the quarterback. Didn't deliver. That puts you in the bad.
Brad Jones.
I mean, I don't even need to talk about this one. That's just Brad Jones.
Brian Bulaga.
And this is simply for the pass pro. He was all right in the running game. But, I mean, the pass pro, and I get Cameron Wake had his least productive slash, you know, well-graded game of the year, PFF. But I don't care because Brian Bulaga affected the entire offense for the Green Bay Packers because he couldn't handle Cameron Wake.
And we got the ugly. We got... Special teams.
I mean, if it wasn't the blocking, it was the coverage or getting... I mean, that was absurd. Absurd performance. And it's interesting that we've got Ron Zook come up from the college ranks, or actually out of retirement, so to speak, to come help Slocum with the special teams, and it's just falling apart there in week six. That was an upsetting, disappointing performance from the special teams.
I mean, I'm pretty used to that.
But they were playing better early in the year. And it's gotten progressively...
I mean, it's Sean Slocum.
It is.
Okay, right, 4-2. We're going to run this drill now. We're going to go...
That's it. That is your experience at Nitschke Field during the August month.
So, speaking of Kyle Cousineau...
What's up, Kyle?
He hasn't said anything on the chat.
Oh, because now they called me out.
Oh, they called me out.
Now they called me out.
Anyway, I'm going to see him this weekend. I'm very excited about it. Because
you are.
We've got...
Why would you be seeing Kyle Cousineau? He lives in Green Bay.
Weekend.
You live in New York City. Why would you be seeing Kyle Cousineau?
Throwback weekend. Oh, all right. I'm going to be drinking some Still Mank on Saturday.
Some Still Mank? Some brewed
I'm gonna be
Wisco
drinking
Disco.
Some new Wisco. I'm going to drink some Wisco. I'm going to be drinking some Bee's Knees.
I'm going to be drinking some...
Special Cheesehead TV brew.
Come on now. You better bring some of that back for those working stiffs here in New York.
No, you try to pick a fight on me on Twitter, Nagler.
Oh, don't even start. I didn't try to pick a fight with you on Twitter. I was trying to pick a fight with you right here, right now.
You get nothing and like it. Did you stop the record and start it again?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. That's actually unbelievable, actually. What are you talking about? Like, I was like, oh. And then you said yes. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
What was it last week you were saying?
What did I say
last
week?
Ye of little faith.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know with you sometimes.
So speaking of Still Mank.
Yeah.
Want to say thank you. This has been a great first third of the season.
Yeah.
I'd say. We're not really in the thirds. We're a little past it.
Not
but,
bad.
But I've been enjoying my Wisco Disco.
I've been thoroughly enjoying my Wisco Disco, if I may say. And again, I say it every week, but I'm going to say it again. I love it when people... tweet us pictures.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Of them drinking Wisco Disco wherever they are in Wisconsin. It is awesome. Because it's an awesome beer. All right, so let's get on some news. Let's get on some newsy, kind of packery, kind of newsy stuff.
Okay.
What do you think? We talked about it with Mr. Butler there in the first part. Oh, the show. Tremont. Sam Shields. Did not participate in practice today. And then you got Dayton Jones, Jarrett Boykin, and Jamari Lattimore, all of which did participate in a limited fashion. So hopefully a couple of those guys, even though they're limited today. I mean, tomorrow is really the telltale because tomorrow will be in pads. But hopefully get some reinforcements back. It'll be nice. And then Corey's favorite. And by the way, I don't know if anyone saw this on Twitter, but there's a new rule now. New rule here at Cheesehead TV and in the Twitter sphere. Whenever the Packers make some kind of practice squad move, whether it's signing, cutting, what have you, you have to CC. You have to retweet and CC Corey. That is the new rule. Because Corey doesn't care about the practice squad players. He has to know about every single transaction that happens on the practice squad. That's the new rule.
I care about them. I care about them more than Vic Ketchman cares about them.
This is probably true. But that's for the second segment.
That's true.
So, the Packers signed Mr. Tight End Ike Ariguzo. I don't know. I have no idea how to pronounce this guy's name. Ariguzo, I'll say. Out of Eastern Kentucky to the practice squad. To make room, they've cut Jordan McCray, who got to be with the team for all of
1 week.
1 week. And the...
I knew who that was because...
The developmental squad there, the developmental league, got all of 1 week's pub of saying, we developed a NFL player, and then he got cut.
I mean, I knew who that was because of you.
Well, there you go.
Because we had it in our news segment last
week.
Because
we talked about it last week. Exactly.
I knew he was an offensive lineman.
See? See, we're educating not only you, but Packer fans everywhere.
Yeah, we are.
That's our job. And now he's out of work. So what are you going to do?
Poor guy.
So let's talk a little Mike McCarthy. Let's talk about his best and his worst. What do you think?
I'm down with that.
Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, the Week 6 edition for the 2014 NFL regular season. To kick it off on the good side, we're going to talk about Mike's plan to combat the heat in Miami. An excellent job implementing his plan. Obviously, much was made leading up to the game about how his team was going to handle the heat. McCarthy made it almost a non-factor, and not by some ridiculous means like Mike Sherman did back in Arizona back in the day, but by practical methods like, hey, let's give the guys some shade. Smart stuff from McCarthy. On the bad side of the ledger, and it's really a nitpick, is in the second half, never once did he really try to take advantage of a crashing safety versus the running game. Time and again, you saw safeties crashing down from deep to try and stop Eddie Lacy. Why not take a play-action pass shot there, Mike? You tried it once in the first half. Aaron Rodgers didn't feel comfortable with it and didn't pull the trigger, but it really seemed like the opportunity was there in the second half. But like I said, that's a nitpick. Overall, great job from McCarthy in Week 6. So there you have it, Mike's best and worst for Week 6. And like I said, it really is a nitpick about the play calling thing because I know there's reams of data that goes into the selection and what have you. Although I tend to think, and this is my thing, when everyone talks about, oh, there's all sorts of like cut-ups and they look at all these possibilities, but you know Mike's sitting there on the sideline with a huge play sheet where he's like, plays are going on, or like things are happening on the field, and they'll cut to McCarthy, and he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." Like you just like he's just buried in his play sheet half the time, so you just know he's like going against, like, "Oh, I know this isn't the plan, but you know, screw it, I'm throwing a bomb."
Of course,
or, like, come on,
wouldn't you do this? Wouldn't you do the same thing?
Of course, I do it every night in Madden. Hello, it's like how I live my life. But he's a professional football coach, so you probably shouldn't be doing that.
Why not?
But, you know, it's all good.
Got to trust your gut.
He won a Super Bowl with it.
I mean...
Won a Super Bowl with it.
I mean, as much as people talk crap about him, it's like, you know, isn't
Dude,
the whole
you
point...
you know I love Mike McCarthy.
Isn't the whole... I didn't say you.
No, I said I know.
People.
I know.
I made a straw man. Okay?
You did.
And now I'm going to burn him down. You know...
Please. Please continue.
As much as people talk about, you know, the whole thing is you do your homework, right?
Yes. And that then, is a perfect.
And then
what you're about to say is perfect.
Now I want to say something really dumb. Now I want to say,
no,
like,
because you're
going
to go back to our training at North Carolina School of the Arts, and it's absolutely right.
You do your homework, you do your due diligence, you figure out people's weaknesses, and then you throw it all away, and you put it out there on the field.
And you live in the moment.
And you live on your gut, and you live in the moment.
Yes.
Mike should do that.
With all of your training and all everything you've learned as your foundation.
Yeah, of course.
You throw it away, and you live in the moment.
Aaron Rodgers does that.
And that's why I love him. That's why I love both of them.
Aaron Rodgers definitely does that. And there's something that people don't really mention, and I think that you know, great quarterbacks obviously have this, and we used to mention this a lot, but his poise. There is no difference in the way, the perception of Aaron Rodgers as he walks to the line
right.
in the fourth quarter with 6 seconds left
right.
than the first quarter with 15, with
so
the whole entire
That's
game.
That's a great point. That's a great point. It's something that not a lot of people have talked about, which is amazing given how much people talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Which, and how do you game for that? How do you, like...
You don't. You
like,
can't.
You can't rattle him. He just laughs at you. It's funny because everybody used to make this big thing about how Favre, like, laughed at everything. Aaron Rodgers is the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something he learned from Favre, but he does that.
Yeah, you'll see him after, like, defenders push him out of bounds or whatever. He's always, like, slapping him on the butt and laughing. Hell, he slapped a ref on the butt the other week. But
he should have got fined for that.
That was hilarious. I loved it.
It was funny.
But what was great is that's a really good point in that... The only, like, occasionally he will lose his cool if a young guy, usually a rookie, like, misses an assignment pre-snap. Or
like when he yells like Corey
Linsley. Well, he has to call a timeout. Like, and that's, you know, I get that. But you make a great point. Like, how he is, like, first quarter and how he is, like, hell, look, he throws that winning touchdown pass in that game on Sunday. Like it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's like he's cutting through butter
with
a
knife. Which is great. It's something that I noticed, actually. I didn't really notice it because I had so much anxiety for XLV. Yeah. So for that game itself,
right.
It was something where he would drive down the field and it just was like nothing. It was like it's like the
and
calm.
And it's not that it's effortless.
No.
Because
no.
He's obviously working, but it doesn't fluster him.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
It's the same. It's just it's not robotic either.
No. Nope.
It's I don't know if there's probably a better word that I could use, but
probably. You know, I should watch my words. Speaking of watching words, because today when I was cleaning out my freaking hard drive, I found the old audio of this is Fran in England who made a dance mix.
This is brilliant.
Of
this needs to get posted. Talish, we need to post this on the blog.
Of
this is brilliant.
It's moves.
I don't have it, so I can't play it.
Moves like
I
Jagger.
I can tell you how brilliant it is.
Moves like Jagger, but it's moves like Nagler.
But it's Aaron Rodgers.
It's Aaron Rodgers calling me out on Wildy's show.
That we don't know why he's calling you out, though.
No, and to this day, I don't know why.
Though. I think it's a post you wrote.
No, because
yes,
that was
it
a
was
thing.
Like it was like I'm Aaron Nagler, and I'm going. to
No, but it was specific to Twitter.
I am a big fat nerd, and I'm going to critique your third down drive in
the
fourth quarter.
And when I did do that, he responded very gentlemanly on Twitter, and we had a pleasant back and forth about it. And it was fine, but that was back before he was like Mr. Star quarterback. Like
he was always,
I don't have time for you.
He's always been QB1, bro.
He wasn't when he was sitting behind Brett.
In my mind, he was.
All right. Okay. We're not going to go down this road.
I have YouTube videos to prove this.
Yes. Okay. I also know.
He was picked in the draft. Okay.
Aaron Rodgers. Okay, this is true.
Let's just say.
Wait.
When
this
he
is
was
true.
Picked in the draft.
Wait. When this is true. When I was in a band. I used to be in a band.
Nobody believes that.
And we used to play live here in New York City. And we got done with a song. We're performing live. There are record executives in the audience.
No, there weren't.
No, there were. There were two. Two. One of which had brought me to drinks at the hotel, the rooftop hotel, right over here, like a week before.
They were like
interns. Blah, 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 blah. No. Record CEO executives bring me over to drinks. Like, oh, we're going to see your club. We're going to see your show. Blah, 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 blah. We get done with the gig. Not even done with the gig. We're in between songs. We're like, oh, it's great. We're playing. Like, the crowd's kind of cheering. Like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. We really liked it. We really liked the dance. Like, blah, blah, blah. Kind of dies. You know that moment where it kind of dies down and you got to start the next song? All of a sudden, all you hear, and this is Rodgers right after he'd been drafted.
This is the answer. Like,
he hadn't played a down in the NFL yet. The cheering dies down a little bit. And I'm ready to launch into the next song. All you hear from the back all of a sudden is, Aaron Rodgers! That's it. Nothing else. no other context, just Banky's voice going, Aaron Rodgers!
I knew he was going to be
and
a
that's
star.
It. And that is all.
Dude,
when and then I'm like, yeah, okay, and here's our next one.
Dude, when he was picked, I got chills. Like, when he dropped to us, I got chills, right. And I've never gotten chills at a draft before. Ever in my life.
Ever. Ever.
And I got chills. I was like, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I was like crazy, and I'm like sitting in my office watching the draft. Like, I'm on Cheesehead TV on the live blog. Oh, it dropped your Wisco Disco. Yeah,
but it didn't spill. How about that? That's like, oh, what's the kid? What's his, Jerry O'Connell's character in Stand By Me? Screw you guys. I got it back.
Thanks.
You know, when he drops yeah, the... Yeah, I know. They're roasting the thing. Nah, come on. This is totally off the rails now. It doesn't matter, Banky.
It matters. We're doing Throwback Weekend this weekend, Nagler. Come on.
Yeah, of course.
So you won't be there for the fourth year in a row. Come on.
That's right. I'm going to be there for the 10-year anniversary.
No, you won't.
My goal.
You're only coming 5-year increments.
That's it.
So next year?
Next year, I'm all in. I keep saying that, but this year, I mean it. All right, so you want to talk about the offense is what you're telling me.
Yes.
All right, so Brian Bulaga. Let's address Brian Bulaga for you for a second, because I got a little pushback for putting Brian Bulaga in the bad. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your standards are low, but he was bad on Sunday. Stop with the, he did okay with the thing, and he did the other thing, and he had some nice plays.
Is that your Twitter?
That's great.
Is that your Twitter troll voice?
No, that's my Cheesehead TV comments voice.
Oh.
he had some nice plays. And yes, you're right. In the run game, he was fine. But the run game did not dictate the play calls on second and third and long. His inability to block Cameron Wake did. So I'm sorry, we're not grading on a curve here. Green and gold glasses, take them off.
I like my green and gold glasses.
Like, when there's a second
down. I'm glad he's not injured and he's playing.
There's a second down play where Brian Bulaga allows Cameron Wake to come screaming around the corner, and Rodgers has to do like a one-handed, it looks like a shovel pass, but it's like a, I'm fearing for my life. I'm going to try and get the ball to James Starks. Oh, I'm going to miss, but thank God I'm not sacked. Play. You like just like, okay, fine. You know, it's 3rd and 7 or 8 or whatever. The next call, you know what the next call is? The 1 yard out to Randall Cobb. The 1 yard, let's get the hell off the field because Aaron's going to get killed. That's how Brian Bulaga affected the game on Sunday. So don't sit here and tell me he was good. Oh, he did okay. Everybody gets an ice cream cone. No, people.
You know what's really funny is I was totally ignoring you that whole time.
That was bullshit.
And while I was ignoring you, I was looking on the chat. Great. And then I got deja vu because Kyle Cousineau said...
Oh, God. It's always Kyle Cousineau.
Well, when he comes on the chat, I get all anxious. So I'm like, Kyle Cousineau's here.
Dude, it's the mayor.
I know.
I understand.
So he goes, I'm holding you to that, Nag. So obviously he saw the thing. But I guarantee you that he said the same thing last year when you said you were coming to Throwback Weekend.
I'm sure he did.
In the chat.
I have no doubt.
And then Lambo Joe, while you're talking about
I can't wait for it to be an annual occurrence.
Lambo Joe was like me. He's like, but he had some good plays.
Oh, he had some good plays. That's great. Let's gather all these good plays up and build a shelter for the homeless. Give me a break.
You know,
Brad Jones had some good plays. Everyone's ready to put a pitchfork to him.
This guy draft hobbyist.
But we call out Brian Bulaga. Oh, God forbid.
Would you rather, draft hobbyist made a good point.
What's that?
Would you rather have Brian Bulaga or Derek Sherrod? Saying
that's fine,
moving
that's
on.
Fine. We're not living in an alternate universe.
Okay, we're moving on.
I didn't say put Sherrod in, I said he had a bad performance. And I'm sorry, look at the tape. That's the truth.
Nobody looks at the tape, Nagler. That's what we have you for.
Bullshit detected. Take precaution.
If you didn't watch the tape, no one would.
That's not true. That's not true.
Not Packer fans.
Zach Cruz looks at the tape.
Okay. But he doesn't. He considers himself more of a blogger reporter, right?
No, he's a legit reporter.
But he's not a Packer fan.
So he says. I mean,
he said he put some stuff on Twitter.
Let me just.
Okay, you like that thing too much. Now you've gone into Kramer mode.
Nope.
Slow down.
Nope. Oh wait! No wait!
No!
Can you please stop taking those away?
Never. I love it. I love it so much. Oh God! Let's just play the.
Just jump the shark. Okay, can we please talk about Davante Adams?
Why?
Because I want to talk about it. He won the game, Nagler.
Just play the rookie report, and we'll talk about Davante Adams. It's great. It's all there at your fingertips, Banky.
Don't play rookie report for a little.
I know, but Davante Adams is in the rookie report.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Davante Adams was awesome. What do you think, Corey?
Well, you have look for more Davante Adams on the perimeter.
Yeah, you're right. Because this is my thing. He will be featured on the perimeter a whole lot more going forward because Randall Cobb is so amazing in the slot.
So what's funny is, not to rile you back up, but basically everybody on the chat is pulling a deflection from Bulaga to Brad Jones. They're basically being like, well, Brad Jones was worse.
Yeah, but so what? Oh, my God. Yeah, Brad Jones was worse. It's not the good, bad, ugly, and worse. And look, who was joining Brian Bulaga in the bad? Brad Jones. Oh, my God.
Let's talk about Kuhn.
I just hate how everyone gets all upset about the good, bad, and the ugly. You know what?
Nobody gets upset. I mean, people left from viewing the show. We had a lot more viewers like 10 minutes ago, but...
Well, that's because Leroy Butler was on.
No, 10 minutes ago. So let's talk about your favorite play.
TJ Lang got upset about the good, bad, and the ugly.
Let's talk about your favorite play. The dive by John Kuhn.
You know what? I hate the fullback dive, as this has been well documented. But McCarthy was very smart on Sunday using the fullback dive as he did.
Yeah.
And I know Bob McGinn wasn't a fan on his chat this afternoon, but I'm here to tell you that was some smart stuff from McCarthy. That's all I got to say.
That's all you have to say?
That's all I got to say. Wow, you don't care what I got to say, dude.
I do. I love what you have to say.
Oh, good.
Welcome back to the Rookie Report here at CheeseheadTV.com for week 6 of the 2014 NFL season. We're going to start with Davante Adams, who probably had his best game as a pro. Going to give him an A for his performance down in Miami. A great job all around, great routes, great hands, and of course, a wonderful recognition and reaction on the fake spike play. Huge play from the rookie, long way from the point in Detroit where he clearly wasn't on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. Much better from the rookie on Sunday. Next up, we have Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. The rookie safety had what Mike McCarthy termed his best day as a Packer, and the tape backs up that assertion. Everywhere he needed to be, coming up, making stick tackles, the guy was near perfect, an A for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Center Corey Linsley had another strong showing, especially in the running game, though you would never know it from the production around him. The whole interior of the line benefited from Lindsley's strength. His pass pro slipped a couple of times, but overall, an A-minus performance from Lindsley. Finally, we have Mike Pennell, the rookie defensive lineman, who played much better against the run, though he did get pushed around a couple of times. And of course, there is the missed sack, where he got in on Tannehill. It looked like it was going to be a great play. Simply couldn't wrap up. It looked like he got a little overexcited getting into the backfield so quickly. Those plays will come a C-minus overall from Pennell. And there you have it, the Week 6 Rookie Report here at CheeseheadTV.com.
I just need to address something here real quick after the Rookie Report. Nick Kolb. Watching in Santiago, Chile.
Oh, nice.
Chile.
That's cool.
If you will. While on a work trip. You ask us, dedicated or sad? Dude, you are dedicated. You are a diehard.
Why is it sad to watch Packer transplant?
Nick Kolb, let me tell you something. You You're the reason we do this, man. Come on now. You're sitting in Chile watching Packer transplants?
I don't think you, it's sad.
Yeah, you're the reason we do this. Service members from around the world contact us and tell us they watch transplants, and it makes them feel like they're part of the movement, part of the feeling around the Packers. That's why we do it, man.
Slow down on the movement.
The movement.
Talking about movement, look.
Yeah.
We need to get
talk about the movement.
We need to get 5,000 subscribers on YouTube, and I'm going to be playing out and say why, okay? Because they just opened a YouTube studio in New York.
Did they?
And how you make a reservation to use, and it's by my house. It's a block from my house.
Right.
How you get to make a reservation is to have a YouTube account that has 5,000 subscribers.
But we have a studio.
Yeah, but how cool would it be to like to YouTube and do some stuff?
It would be cool.
Just to be like, oh yeah, let me book the Chelsea Market YouTube space. Anyway, if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube account. I know we belabor it, but
no, not at all. Dude, we can't belabor it enough. Uh-oh.
Cousineau. I got this is like your ex girlfriend chat.
Doesn't watch the show, but then comes in here like he owns the place. Okay.
this is like your ex girlfriend chat. So I got this is Kyle, right?
Right.
I got super drunk with Nagler this summer in Green Bay. You think he'd want to come to Green Bay for throwback weekend so we could do it again?
Cousineau, you know, buddy, you want to pay my bills, dude. I'm right there. Man, you pay for the flight.
Oh, this is a good one.
Pay for me.
Who wins
to get there.
In a beer chugging whisko disco competition between Nagler and Cousineau?
Oh, Nagler. 1,000%.
Oh! Nagler.
There's not even a question
here. I'm going to run a caveat here.
Not even a question.
I would say Nagler wins, but if Cousineau is in his PJs, Cousineau wins.
Oh my God! Sorry. This is not even a question. Now we want to talk Jaeger bombs. Then we're going to Cousineau. But come on now, beer? Come on.
Let's talk about the defense.
It's not even a question. All right, defense. This is interesting. This was very interesting. If you watch the tape, which Corey says no one does,
no, you do. That's why we come here.
They played man outside and a lot of zone mixes inside, which I thought was really interesting and a great idea until injuries happened and we got Jared Bush on the field and then everything kind of fell apart. I love the idea that McCarthy sold us this summer about we're going to train up all these guys in all sorts of different positions so that when inevitably injuries strike, they will be ready, but that didn't really come to fruition. And I said this on Twitter, and I think I was probably a little harsh because I said it kind of disproved that theory. But looking, you know, thinking about it a little bit more, it's pretty clear what Mike was saying was like long-term injuries. Like, obviously, I think Sam Shields is probably going to be out for a little while. It's pretty clear that what he's talking about is, okay, Sam Shields is going to be out for a little while. We've got guys who know what to do over the time period while Sam is out, rather than in-game injuries where we're going to bring guys in and things are going to be fine. Clearly, you've practiced all week. You've game-planned all week for certain guys at certain positions, making adjustments on the fly, which, funnily enough, Miami Dolphins, Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, did a great job adjusting at halftime. Dom, as per frickin' usual, to quote the movie, was, you know, very slow to react, although he did get in the best possible call during the last drive, which was, of course, aided by the fact that, they tried to throw the ball, and Joe Philbin started calling timeouts. That was when they were on offense. But, so, the in-game adjustment is still lacking just a little bit, but long-term, I get it, probably a little better as far as I think we'll see Sunday with guys out of the lineup. We'll see the adjustments and what Mike McCarthy was talking about this summer start to pay off. And speaking of the defensive backfield,
yeah,
Devon House, I would expect him to be shadowing Kelvin Benjamin if Benjamin plays. Now, it came out today, Benjamin is going through the concussion protocol from the hit on Vontaze Burfict, who, by the way, let me just like kind of take this off for a second and say, it is absolutely absurd that he was only fined for his ridiculousness with Benjamin and Cam Newton when he absolutely should have been suspended for at least a game. I mean, he specifically targeted guys, especially Cam Newton. The video is right there. He twists Cam Newton's leg far after the play is over. He's on the ground. He knows Cam's
got
a bad... And
he wasn't fined?
He was fined, $25,000.
But he wasn't penalized.
He should be... Greg Olsen, the tight end for the Panthers, came out publicly this week and said he should be suspended. And he absolutely had a point. He absolutely was correct. But the NFL today, it was reported that fined him $25,000, but that's nothing. The guy just signed a new deal. So anyway, sorry to get off on that tangent. I just feel very strongly about this point. But
I mean, if he does that to Aaron Rodgers, he's going to get
suspended. Exactly.
He better.
Can you imagine, like, after Aaron Rodgers got, like, imagine week 17 last year. Aaron Rodgers is back for the first time, his shoulder. After the play is over, he's sitting on the ground, and Vontaze Burfict, like, rails him in the shoulder. That's the equivalent of what we're talking about here. And
I don't want
to. Burfict, you got go back to last year in the game in Cincinnati where the Packers got flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct after the play. And you look at the tape, and it's because some Burfict was getting up in somebody's grill. It's always the way with this guy. So, anyway, you can expect Devon House to be shadowing Calvin Benjamin if Benjamin is able to go after the concussion he sustained. And then finally, on the defensive side of the ball, speaking of Cam Newton is the Carolina Panthers, obviously.
Yes.
We all know this. And they are getting probably Jonathan Stewart back. Probably not D'Angelo Williams. Calvin Benjamin may or may not go. After that, they've got a lot of dreck at wide receiver. Offensive line is suspect. And this is all true last week, by the way, as far as he had nothing to work with, and he ripped through the Cincinnati Bengals to the tune of 37 points. Obviously, that game ended in a tie, but Packer fans should absolutely be worried about this game. Don't forget Cam tearing apart this defense the second week of his rookie year. This kid is no joke. He is an amazing talent. He's only gotten better since then, and he will absolutely be a problem for the Packers. And on the flip side, Luke Kuechly, the middle linebacker for the Panthers, will absolutely be a problem for the offense. Now, the rest of the defensive front has had their issues, but Kuechly and Cam Newton. And Cam Newton in particular, I know there's been some talk about spying him this week. Don't do that.
Don't talk to Vic Ketchman about spying.
Oh, we'll get there, Banky.
We're about to be there. Right,
so let's go there. Let's go there.
All right. Well, we're not actually going to bring
We're not
going to
talk
segment,
about that. But
Vic Ketchman, everybody, he's not a fan.
Here
of,
we go.
He's not a fan of spying.
Spying. And I'm okay. Wait, real quick. Last football point before you rip into Vic. I will say, because we were talking about a pre-show, Vic said on one of his chats that he's not a fan of spying. I agree, actually, on this one. I'm not a fan of spying.
I don't agree.
Unless you have a superior athlete.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the whole point of spying.
No, it's not.
If you don't have a good spy, you can't spy, Nagler.
Tell that to Dom Capers sometime.
But that makes no sense.
Who had Eric Walden spying Colin Kaepernick. I mean, come on.
That's just dumb.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, if you have a good spy, it works, and it has been proven effective. If you have Ray Lewis in his prime,
if you have Brian Urlacher in his prime, if you have Ray Lewis, yes, it can work.
Let's get to what the people came for. Okay.
All right, you take it.
All right, here we go. So we've got some. We've got a classic Ask Vic for you. I've got six of them tonight, but he actually was very, very on point. And just normal Vic. It's like he went back to normal Vic. He was like friendly Vic for a couple weeks. So here's one, a fan from Sweden. On the final play, the Packers initially had 11 personnel with tight end Corliss aligned outside. The Dolphins took a timeout. After the timeout, the Packers entered the field with the same personnel in the same formation, and the Dolphins had to correct their defensive formation again, putting a linebacker in single coverage on Corliss. How could the Dolphins not be prepared for the exact same look after a timeout? Vic's answer. They sell Madden in Sweden.
What a dick.
That's just rude.
Dude, right. Wait. So basically, you've just conceded that your questioner slash reader knows more about football than you do.
All right, so here's another one. Vic, my heart was pounding hard and... Okay, this is a two-parter, people.
I love this one.
Vic.
This is amazing.
My heart was pounding hard and fast on the final drive. What was your reaction from the press box? Were you sitting or standing? Vic, I was in the interview room at that point. I was pacing and my stomach was in a knot. Come on, Aaron, I kept yelling. When the Packers scored, I let out a yell that annoyed some of the other media in the room. Okay, that's part one of two. So later on in another Ask Vic, okay, we get in the... This is just Vic, right?
This is answer.
In the
to
final
somebody.
Minutes of that game on Sunday, it took every ounce of my writing and reporting ability to keep up with the action and prepare the bulletin story I was writing for posting as the final second ticked off the clock. It's called, quote, writing running, quote unquote. And it is the essence of deadline reporting. My fingers felt as though they would fly off my hands. I was continually searching for down and distance for time remaining. Who caught the ball? At what yard line is the ball? My thoughts were consumed by one objective. Do my job. That's what I do at a football game. I do my job. Those who grade my performance don't judge me on how well I cheered. Why can't fans understand this?
Oh, come on now. That ain't even bullshit. That's horseshit.
I mean, how do you go from... I don't understand.
I'm sitting there going, come on, Aaron. Come on, Aaron. To the point where I'm annoying other reporters.
but no. I'm writing down.
But I'm
down
doing my job.
I'm doing my job, Aaron.
I do my job.
Aaron, I do my job.
Banky, I do my job.
I mean, really?
Warning.
Can you stop with that?
I can't, never.
Okay.
Never.
So we're going to...
You didn't even let the people hear it. By the way, that said...
Okay, here we go. So, here's another one for... Don't worry, people. I only have two more. Three more. Vic, frequently you answer tough questions while thinking of your Green Bay Packers paycheck. Please don't again. Question. Do you believe the offensive line is performing as the best line I have seen in McCarthy era level? Whether the Miami defensive line is good or not, they should win the battle based on your quote. Not the first time they have lost the battle. Comment? Vic's comment. No, that's okay. Okay. So we here at Cheesehead TV give Vic Ketchman props for posting these in some ways. So Nagler's first response usually when I tell him these, he's like, okay, I give the guy props for putting it. But then you're going to be a douchebag? Like, come on, turn it around, buddy.
Okay,
turn it around.
Let's make something clear.
Okay.
That comment that you just read, yes. The Vic, you usually blah, blah, don't this time, you said X. Here's how I would have answered that. Yeah, this is probably one of the best offensive lines in McCarthy's tenure. And yeah, they struggle against the Dolphins. Those two things are not incongruent. Why do you have to be a dick while asking
that question?
Just explain
it.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the person from Sweden, if you're not a technique...
That question is amazing. It's perfect.
It's a great question.
It's an awesome question. And Vic was a total
douche. Like, you had actually a great answer. You're like, well, Pro Football Focus talked about this or, you know...
Oh, the PFF. And Nate was on with Brian this morning.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning.
What is so wrong about fans talking about scheme? I'm sick of this, okay?
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy... Everybody, calm down, okay? Guess what? We
R-E-L-A-X.
Care about the Green Bay Packers, okay? Yep. So if we care about the nitpickiness of the damn scheme, I don't, but some people do.
Right.
So give them the time of day. They're fans.
Yep, and they want to know. But here's the thing. It's like,
so
and that was the great thing about Nate on with Brian on Railbird, where he said, you know, look, yeah, Brian Bulaga struggled, but it's the best anyone's done against Wake all year.
Yeah, it's simple.
And that's
it's
great.
It's simple in hindsight, Nagler. You know, he's asking Vic live, bro.
Yeah.
All right. Last two, so we can move on.
Good.
All right. So this one I think is a little scary. I don't think he should be answering questions like this personally.
Oh, Jesus.
Vic, at my son's last football game, a teammate leaped up attempting to make an interception and came down on his head. With only 55 seconds left in the game and the score lopsided, the officials called the game. As I was driving home, I pulled over for two emergency vehicles heading to the field. My son is only a sophomore. That could have been him. That could be him if he continues to play. It's not easy being a parent. Vic's response. It's not easy being a football parent, and it's not easy handing your son or daughter the keys to the car either. Okay, so first, you're a condescending asshole. Second, I don't think it's in the Packers' best interest to answer questions about head injury from the writer of the Green Bay Packers. I just don't think that's
the good. Head blogger.
Yeah, it's not good business practice. Like, dude, just be quiet and just don't even take the question. Okay, last one. Here we go. After 43 years and nothing significant to offer, isn't it time to retire?
God bless this questioner.
I love him. His name is, he's from, I can't remember his name, but he's from Colorado. But I put it on Twitter. Well done. And so, Vic, that's a great question for our reader comment section to answer. Feel free to respond there. Now, I will say one of the, his main things that he does is if you are not worthy of being in the Ask Vic header Q&A,
right.
You get to go to the reader comment dungeon. So that's just Vic's way of saying, I'm a douchebag. I'm always going to be a douchebag. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And that's our ask. That's our Bash Vic segment.
Bash Vic for the week. I love it. A lot of good ammo there this week,
dude. There was so much ammo, and people on Twitter were like today. I go on Twitter after some meetings, and like four people were like, "Dude, there's so much shit. Look at this one. Look at this one." It's like people are pointing to it, and people feel guilty for liking that segment.
No,
I don't feel guilty for liking that segment.
No, I don't feel guilty for liking that segment.
I've turned you around. You used to be like, Corey, be quiet.
When have I ever said, Corey, be quiet?
Corey, please, can you not talk about
Corey, can you please not bash Vic?
You were trying to censor me, Nick.
Stop. Oh, just
stop. Now you're on my side.
Just stop. I've always been on your side. Give me a flipping break. All right. You ready to predict this game?
Yep.
Ready to talk about this Panthers game on Sunday?
Yep.
The Packers, and this is great. By the way, if you're not on Twitter, A, get on it. B, follow Old Bag of Donuts because he had the most perfect Panthers week. You know, we talk about Bears week or what Vikings week or whatever. He had the greatest Panthers week tweet of all time. He said, does anyone remember Brad Hoover? Yeah, Brad Hoover. It was awesome. It was
who
awesome.
Who said that?
Old Bag of Donuts. They had the Twitter handle.
That's
it was awesome.
Hilarious. That,
it was, I was dying.
That
I read
hilarious.
It at my desk, and I was crying with laughter. Brad Hoover, we salute you because you always freaking killed us. But no Brad Hoover this week. Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly, that's the whole game. If the Packers can control those two players, they will win this football game. That's very easily said, much tougher to do, but that's, you know, that's the whole goal this week. If they can do that, they should win the game. The Panthers, they haven't been able to rush the passer a whole lot since Greg Hardy went out. They do have a lot of guys that they rotate in and out. Charles Johnson's had some injury issues, although he is still very formidable. But at home, this Packers line, Aaron Rodgers in the hard count, I'm sorry, Rodgers is going to freaking feast against this defense. You heard it here first, or second or third, but he is going to feast against the Panthers. And then finally, look for a strong, strong bounce back game from Eddie Lacy. Least of which, you know, least reason being he's at home. They're a different animal at home. The running game is a different animal at home. But this Panthers front, other than Kuechly, not great against the run. Look for Eddie Lacy to get on track. Rodgers and Lacy both are going to eat on Sunday.
Also, look for me on the front row of
there you go.
110.
That's the most important part. And finally,
this week in the Packer blogosphere.
There's no audio. My bad. Sorry.
There was no audio. Why would there be no audio?
That was my bad.
It's the return of this week of the Packers Vlogosphere. Oh, I love this show.
I'm glad there's a chat. If there wasn't a chat,
we would have just finished the show out with no audio.
Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, God, I love it. Well, go over to Lombardi Avenue. Lombardi Ave has a great post up entitled, Green Bay Packers need more than, quote, comfortable, unquote, play out of Clay Matthews. And I could not agree more. Head on over there, Lombardi Ave, Great post. It's very, it's pretty long. It's pretty involved, but it's well worth your time. Well laid out thoughts on what we aren't seeing from Clay Matthews and what we would like to see from Clay Matthews going forward. That's it. That's all I got. That's it. That is it. Good Lord, Banky.
This Packers mime blog is awesome. That's the best chat. I can't. Everybody's like, is this thing on? It's really funny. Like, just not having the audio actually was really funny because everybody's like responses.
Oh, because they actually got involved for a change. Nice.
Yeah, they're on the
Thanks,
chat.
Thanks, guys.
Sorry about that.
It's like that. No, it's like that video that's going around of the final scene from the original Star Wars, where the throne room scene where Han, Luke, and Chewbacca walk in the throne room, but they've stripped the music out, and you just watch it with just the live audio. It's flipping hilarious. If you haven't seen it,
I haven't seen that.
It is.
Is there anything from Star Wars you haven't seen?
Nope.
You know what I'm glad didn't happen?
What's that?
That stupid
oh God,
Admiral Akbar clip was not played last weekend.
Yeah. Nope, not once. Admiral,
because you were annoying me with that.
Admiral Armbar.
And I'm really glad I can.
I was annoying. Chantrell Williams came on our show and talked about it.
Yeah, but she doesn't annoy me like you do.
Yeah, of course not. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, the legendary Leroy Butler. Not to mention all of you joining us on our live blog, telling us that we have no audio on. Thank you so much. You guys are the reason we do this. And this week, we're going to give you extra executive producer credit. Thank you so much, Packer fans. And thank you watching in Chile on a business trip. Seriously, that's why we do this. You're in Chile. You're in a hotel.
I think he left.
You don't know anybody. And you're watching
Packer
Transplants.
Oh, yeah, predictions.
I'm going to go 31-17 Pack.
I'm going to go 28-0 Pack.
Love it. For Corey Banky, I'm Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com. Check us out wherever, on the site, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook. Go Pack, go. Peace out.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.